You're in Braves country.
Meet the Mets, greet the Mets, come on out and sweep the Mets. Heck of a series, a lot of fun. Now the Washington Nationals come a-calling. So let's go ahead and get you set for Braves versus Nats, game one, as coming off that miraculous, not just series victory, not just game victory, just the fact that they never gave up last night. And it would have been really easy. But when you look at the fact that the Mets, who I still think are the biggest threat to the Braves in the division, despite what Miami's record is, Miami's played a really cupcake schedule. Now they're going into Chicago to play the White Sox this weekend. That's not necessarily a difficult competition, but it is on the road, and it's never easy to win on the road. So we hope that we can pick up some ground here. We're at home against Washington. They're going into play a White Sox team that just hasn't played up to its potential. You would think Atlanta could possibly gain a game this weekend. We're 3.5 up on Miami coming into the weekend. We're, 8.5 up on the Mets? But listen to the Mets schedule going forward for the rest of this month. They got the three games in Pittsburgh. So that's going to be the end of their road trip. They're already 0-3 on the road trip. If they drop one game, it's going to be a losing road trip. So it's already kind of a bummer when you look at it from their angle. It's Miguel Sengun and Carrasco. That's not going to be easy. Okay. Let's just assume that they do get a win. I just really feel like Pittsburgh's going to win that series. But let's just say that they do get a win. Then you're looking at a two-game series next week. They are off Monday, and they're going to need that day off just to re-energize themselves. They're at home, but they're playing the New York Yankees, who are playing really good baseball right now. Now, that's going to be a fun one, and I'm going to try to keep an eye on that one while I'm watching and bringing you the Braves broadcast. They're going to have Scherzer and Verlander going on the hill versus the Yankees. That right there is, that is the quintessential offseason, looking forward to how good the Mets are going to be, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they're going to have to go up against the Yankees, and they're putting their, $86 million out there on the mound. If they go out there and spit the bit and get swept away by the Yankees in their home stadium, I don't care if, the fact that they don't have Pete Alonso going on the IL today. I don't care about that. At bare minimum, you have to split that series. Not saying that they can't, but I'm saying your psyche would be crushed. In your own city, your two top starters, Scherzer and Verlander, that you're shucking out $86 million to. 43 apiece, I'm pretty sure it breaks down this year. It's somewhere in that neighborhood, $86 million. If you get swept away in your own building, even without Alonso, oh man, are they going to come for you in the New York media. Then they're going to get a day off, and then they're going to be at home against the Cardinals, who are starting to play a little better baseball. So that's not going to be easy on your bullpen. Then they have to go out on the road immediately, no day off, on that next Monday. Listen to this. 3 at Houston. Then they get a day off. 3 at Philadelphia. And then they'll come home and play a 4-game series against the Milwaukee Brewers. That's not going to be easy. Brewers are a solid baseball team. And then a team who's been playing much better in the second month than the first month. Here come the San Francisco Giants for a 3-game set. And after you get punched drunk from all of that, before the All-Star break, you go out on the road for six games at Arizona and at San Diego. They will be lucky to be a 500 team at that point. I don't think they will be. They would be very fortunate to be a 500 team at that point. I mean, my word. What an absolute that's a gauntlet. Now, look, it's all evened out because they had a pretty easy schedule and they weren't performing. There's no other way to say it. You can't sugarcoat it. They were not performing. When you look at the Mets right now, they're three games under 500. When they get to the All-Star break, I'll handicap it. My over-under right now, if you're a Mets fan, you would love to be 500. I think you would even take at this point five games under 500 at the All-Star break. You'll still have a puncher's chance at the wild card, but man, the division may be out of sight and out of mind. Phillies, by the way, are eight back. So the Braves come into tonight's action, 3.5 in front of Miami. 8 in front of Philly, 8.5 in front of the Mets, and 12.5 games in front of Washington. And Miami has been red hot. They've won 8 of their last 10. They've played some bad teams, but hey, you can only play the teams that are in front of you, so I'm not going to knock anything on that. When you look at what the Mets are about to deal with, and you compare it to what the Braves are going to deal with going up to the All-Star break, this next week alone, or week plus, we're going to be at home against Washington, at Detroit, and home against Colorado. No Major League Baseball team is easy, per se, but you like your odds to gain some ground. Then they're going to go to Philly and Cincinnati. That won't necessarily be easy. Then they're going to come home and play Minnesota and Miami, who have good records, but they don't have very good offenses this year. Then they're going to finish it off at Cleveland, another bad offense. And they'll finish it all off. And this one's going to be a fun one to look forward to. The last weekend of the season, the Tampa Bay Rays at Tampa Bay, the two best teams in baseball, in my opinion, right now. And you can't argue with that if you look at the record. So, yeah, we've got a couple of bumps in the road, but all in all, pretty manageable schedule on this back half of the first half of the season. And all in all, I've been really concerned about how we're going to fare with Philadelphia. And if you look at that real quick, Philadelphia is at home against the Dodgers this weekend. Can't believe we're saying this, but go blue, right? Then they go out on their own road trip, a seven-game set, and it's an exact opposite of what we just did. They go 4 in Arizona, and without a day off, 3 at Oakland. Now, we know Oakland's not a great team, but we can't talk a lot of smack about Oakland. They took 2 out of 3 out of us, but the point is they're going to come out of that Arizona series, and with that Arizona offense and whatnot, Philly could be kind of punch drunk coming out of that game or out of that series. They're going to go into Oakland, and there could be a look-ahead factor because right after that they come home to face the Mets, or excuse me, in this order, face the Braves and then the Mets. And it would be human nature to come out of that four-game series against Arizona and know you're about to go home in a few days to face the division leaders and your arch rival in the Mets and say, man, we got to get ready for the Atlanta series. We got to get ready for the Mets series. Oakland might steal one or two games from them. And then after that, they go to Chicago, and they're at home against Washington, so it gets a little softer. But then they're going to finish their half of the season in Florida, 3 at Tampa Bay and 3 at Miami. And that's just not going to be an easy way to finish it off. And then if you look at the Marlins, which are hanging in there, there's always a story like this every year in Major League Baseball, right? When we did our predictions, I talked about how I thought Miami could compete for a wild card, and they're looking like a team that can be right there. They've got the pitching. Miami's biggest problem is they have no offense. But their offense is coming together, and you got Luis Arraez who's chasing down 400. You just never know. You never know. But you go to with the Marlins, they're going to be at the White Sox, at Seattle. Two teams who aren't playing great, but it's kind of a funky road trip, and they're going to end that road trip at Washington. And Washington, we're going to see this weekend, they can put runs up on the board. And they're very hit or miss on their pitching, their starting pitching from day to day. If they get a good outing, they can be a tough team to beat. They're starting, they're not quite turning the corner yet, but they can see the corner. And I think they're only a few years away from start. Look, they've got a lot of salary issues that they're trying to climb out of. They won that World Series in 19, but you've got Strasburg on the books for the next few years. You've got Corbin on the books for the next few years. And neither one of them are really guys you look forward to when they go on the hill. And then if you look at the rest of Miami's schedule this back half, they play Toronto and Pittsburgh, at Boston, at Atlanta, at home against St. Louis and Philly. So it's going to get tougher for the Marlins as they go down the stretch. If the Braves, in this back half, if they can play 3, 4, 5 games over 500, they might be able to build themselves one heck of a league going into the All-Star break. And you want that because you never know when an injury or just an old-fashioned what-the-heck-is-going-on slump happens, because that's the way baseball is. If you look at the series this weekend with the Braves and the Nationals and what the pitching matchup is going to be, tonight, obviously, we're looking forward to Schauver getting his first major league start. We got a little bit of a sample size in Arizona. It looked good. Can't wait to see what he looks like tonight when he's going through an entire. And I'm just prepared for the worst and hoping for the best. I'm not going to overanalyze him on his first start, but I'm hoping he looks great. He's going up against Gray. Gray is up and down, but he pitches better away from home. So the thing about Josiah Gray, though, I don't really have a whole lot of time to get into it, but if you look at his pitching, when he's gone up against some of the better teams, he's only had a couple of tough opponents this year. He hasn't fared so well. He's really built a resume against a really, really fortuitous game log, would be the best way to put it. And then tomorrow, it's Schuster versus Mackenzie Gore. Mackenzie Gore has been pitching really well. So these are going to be a tough couple of games to see if Atlanta's young pitchers can out-duel the Washington's young pitchers. The thing that I have the belief in is that Atlanta's offense is a lot better right now, and our bullpen's much, much stronger. So I do believe we'll prevail, but you can't assume a sweep. I'm expecting to win the series. I hope for the sweep, but I never assume a sweep in Major League Baseball. And on Sunday, it's Elder versus Williams. We definitely have the advantage there. Williams will go out and have a good outing from time to time, but typically Elder is a much better pitcher. And so that's how this series lines up. And I'm going to go ahead and call it tonight. I got the Braves winning. I don't think it'll be as high scoring because I think there's going to be some fatigue. Give me the Braves winning this one. We'll say 6-2. I think Schauver, from what we saw, is going to go out and pitch well, and then the bullpen will clean it up. And then tomorrow, hopefully, we'll get into that tomorrow. We are bringing you the game tomorrow as well. That's a 4:10 first pitch. We'll come on 3:30 for pregame. So tonight, 7:20. Tomorrow, 4:10. And we're taking Sunday off. So there you have it. All right. Lineups are next. National anthem, the whole nine yards. Braves versus Nationals. Game one of a three-game set. We've got it right here. A.J. Smith, Shaw Verde. How about that? The SSAJ. Huh? Let's go, Braves country. I'm going to leave you with the Brian Snicker post-game press conference from last night and his reactions in what was a wild game, a wild series. Game one, Braves Nats on the way.
I don't know. That's hard to describe.
Holy cow.
Wild, yeah, fun, I guess. I mean, it's just the guys, you know, I keep saying it over and over and over. They don't quit. I mean, they just good at bats. we thought we had some really good ones early in the game, didn't chase a lot. And then late in the game also, you know, there's some big walks. Arcia's bat was great. Yeah, you could just go up on and up and down the lineup and all the good things. you know, Joe Jimenez, his two innings are huge in a game like, you know, he hadn't pitched in a while. You know, great job by Joe, you know, stepping up big, you know, and even Tonk. I mean, to cover two innings, you know, after being down for so long was really good. And Jesse got himself in trouble again and got out of it. That was, and Biggie was really good for that inning. My God, anytime you put a guy at second base, that's, you know, tough duty. That's a great, you know, I think probably understatement to say it's a great team win because it's exactly what it was.
Arcia, once again, he's had the clutch gene all year.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like there's no, that heart rate is just so calm when he's up there. And that's a huge at bat off a really tough back end reliever.
Wins like this over the last few years, does it become the thing where you kind of expect to do it?
Or I think you get to a point where you don't feel like, as long as you got a strike or an out left, as we've seen, that you got a chance, you know, and I think they believe that. It's just kind of like you give them a chance. It doesn't happen all the time, but, you know, with these guys, it happens a lot. And I think that's a, you know, a good trait to have for a club.
And when you have that tenacity, can that wear other teams down?
Yeah.
They've got it in their mind?
Oh, absolutely. They know you're not done and you're going to keep coming after them. And absolutely it does. And it is. It is. It's fun to watch these guys go when it gets like that.
How about, you know, you watch Spencer, just one of those nights for him?
Yeah, I think it's just another learning experience for him. You know, I was telling a cranny, I mean, he's going to go through things where he's experiencing new things and he doesn't have a lot to fall back on. He's creating things, I think, to fall back on and experiences that, you know, the next time it happens. But, you know, you got to create them and go through them before you're aware of all that, I think. And it just wasn't going to, you know, there's going to be days like that. You know, I was glad we scored three early. You know, because it kind of, that deficit in his bat when he gives up eight and we're kind of still hanging around. So, you know, he'll learn from it. He'll bounce back. He'll go to work and can't wait to get him back out there.
You mentioned Jimenez, but for this whole series and three comebacks, how important was the bullpen?
Oh, it's huge. That they allow you to do that. That's what allows you to do things like that is your bullpen. These guys have been really, really good. You know, they don't let the dam break. They haven't. They've minimized damage, and that's huge if you're going to do something like this.
You've talked a little bit about Ozzie and why he continues to switch it. Now he keeps showing up.
I know, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, and he's growing too. He's maturing. He's learning. You know, and his left-handed stuff is really, really good this year as he's getting better. You know, I mean, he missed a lot of games last year. And worked really hard and spring training and, you know, and he's, like I say, he's maturing as a hitter, as a player. I think, you know what, his heartbeat is calming down a lot when he's at the plate because, you know, he's not chasing like he used to. I mean, he's getting better decisions, which is just a sign of maturity, I think. Like I said, pound for pound, he might be one of the strongest guys in the major leagues.
You're listening. listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.
There's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
If baseball is about caring, about loyalty and rivalry.
Baerga is 0 for 3. Left center field. Grissom on the run. The team of the 90s has its world championship.
There's a very peaceful thing. It was created and played in pastures and meadows. There's grass, there's outdoors, there's everything that people thought was American and feel about America. You get in a ballpark, and it's the wonder of walking through that dark tunnel and seeing a huge open space where men play the little boy's game.
I believe in the Church of Baseball. I've tried all the major religions and most of the minor ones. I know things. For instance, there are 108 beads in a Catholic rosary and there are 108 stitches in a baseball. I prefer metaphysics to theology. You see, there's no guilt in baseball, and it's never boring. It's a long season and you gotta trust it. I've tried them all, I really have, and the only church that truly feeds the soul day in, day out is the Church of Baseball.
Touch them all, Joe! You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life!
A lot of room in right center. If he hits one there, we can dance in the streets. The 2-1. Swung line drive, left field! One run is in! Here comes Breed! Here's the throw to the plate! He is! Braves win! Braves win! Braves win! Braves win!
You're in Braves country.
We're down to one strike here. Gurriel, the last hope for the Houston Astros. Here's the 0-2 pitch. Swung on, bounced over to Dansby. Dansby fires it over to first. And here comes the dog pile. Fire the cannons in the battery. Do the chop all throughout Braves country. Pop that top. Your Atlanta Braves have won it all.
Oh, say can you see? By the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets red.
Howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? Pull up an armchair, girls and boys, and join us for Braves Country Baseball. We are live, and the scene is Truist Park in Atlanta, Georgia, where we're set to bring you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves. Hi, I'm Mac McGee. Here are your starting lineups for today's action. Leading off for the visiting Washington Nationals. Thomas is in right field, batting .281, 9 home runs, 28 RBI, and 5 stolen bases. Garcia will be batting second and playing second, 5 home runs, 26 RBI, 3 stolen bases, a .271 average. Joey Meneses, the designated hitter with 2 home runs, 30 RBI, and a .305 average. Candelario, batting cleanup from third base, 7 homers, 28 RBI, .253 average, and 1 stolen base. Dominic Smith will be at first base tonight. He has 1 home run and 14 RBI, a .270 average. Ruiz is behind the plate with 7 home runs and 24 RBI. He's batting .233 on the year. Dickerson is in left, .255 on the year with two home runs and nine RBI. And C.J. Abrams at short and batting eighth. He has six homers, six stolen bases, 29 RBI, a .227 average. And Call is in center field with a .220 clip, three homers, 20 RBI, and five stolen bases. On the mound for the Washington Nationals, Josiah Gray, 4-5 with a .309 ERA, a .142 whip, 67 innings pitched, 62 hits allowed, 55 strikeouts, 33 walks, and 8 home runs. He'll be going head-to-head with the rookie, making his second appearance, first major league start, A.J. Smith-Shawver. The SSAJ has a .43 whip in 2 1/3 innings. He also has 3 strikeouts on the year and 1 walk. Going to the plate for your Atlanta Braves at the bottom of the first, it's Ronald Acuna Jr. 12 homers, 34 RBI, 2 stolen bases, a .332 average. Batting second and playing first base, 17 home runs, 43 RBI, 1 stolen base, and a .231 average, Matt Olson. Batting third and playing third, Austin Riley, 11 homers with 32 RBI. He's raised his average to .281. Sean Murphy is behind the plate and batting cleanup, a .287 average, 12 homers, and 42 RBI. Eddie Rosario is in left field with 8 home runs, 26 RBI, a stolen base, and a .253 average. And Ozzie Albies is at second base, 14 home runs, including the walk-off shot from last night, 42 RBI, 2 stolen bases, and a .256 average. Marcell Ozuna, batting seventh, 12 home runs, 26 RBI, and a .234 average. Orlando Arcia is batting eighth, 5 home runs, 17 RBI, and a .326 average. Michael Harris II will be patrolling center field. His average is now up to .191 with 3 homers, 11 RBI, and 5 stolen bases. Home plate umpire tonight is Alex McKay, first base umpire Stu Sherwater, second base Malachi Moore, and down the third baseline, it's Andy Fletcher. Should be about in the mid-70s tonight in Truist Park. Atlanta minus .210 on the money line. The over-under is 10 runs. Expecting a pretty good crowd here in our home stadium that holds 41,149. That's your lineups for game one of a 3-game set versus the Braves and Washington Nationals. Braves come in first place in the National League East, 38-24 on the year, 18-14 at home. Washington comes in 11 games under 500 at 25-36. They're 13-15 on the road. It's about that time. Grab you a cold one. Find you an armchair. It's Braves Nationals on Friday Night Baseball. Get your game face on, Braves Country. Casey at the Bat by Ernest Lawrence Thayer. The outlook wasn't brilliant for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2, but with one inning more to play. And when Cooney died at first and Barrows did the same, a pall-like silence fell upon the patrons of the game. A straggling few got up to go in deep despair.
the rest. Clung to the hope which springs eternal in the human breast. They thought, if only Casey could, but get a whack at that, we'd put up even money now with Casey at the bat. But Flynn preceded Casey, as did Jimmy Blake, and the former was a hoodoo, while the latter was a cake. So upon that stricken multitude, grim, melancholy sat, for there seemed but little chance of Casey getting to the bat. But Flynn let drive a single, to the wonderment of all, and Blake, the much despised, tore the cover off the ball. And when the dust had lifted and men saw what had occurred, there was Jimmy safe at second and Flynn a-hugging third. Then from 5,000 throats and more rose a lusty yell. It rumbled through the valley. It rattled in the dell. It pounded on the mountain and recoiled upon the flat. For Casey, mighty Casey, was advancing to the bat. There was ease in Casey's manner as he stepped into his place. There was pride in Casey's bearing, and a smile lit Casey's face. And when responding to the cheers, he lightly doffed his hat. No stranger in the crowd could doubt 'twas Casey at the bat. 10,000 eyes were on him as he rubbed his hands with dirt. 5,000 tongues applauded when he wiped them on his shirt. Then while the writhing pitcher ground the ball into his hip, defiance flashed in Casey's eye, a sneer curled Casey's lip. And now the leather-covered sphere came hurtling through the air, and Casey stood a-watching it in a haughty grandeur there. Closed by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped. "That ain't my style," said Casey. "Strike one," the umpire said. From the benches black with people, there went up a muffled roar, like the beating of a storm waves on a stern and distant shore. "Kill him! Kill the umpire!" shouted someone on the stand, and it's likely they'd have killed him had not Casey raised his hand. With a smile of Christian charity, great Casey's visage shone. He stilled the rising tumult. He bade the game go on. He signaled to the pitcher, and once more the dun sphere flew. But Casey ignored it, and the umpire said, "Strike two!" "Fraud!" cried the maddened thousands, and echoed answered, "Fraud!" But one scornful look from Casey, and the audience was awed. They saw his face grow stern and cold. They saw his muscles strain. And they knew that Casey wouldn't let that ball go by again. The sneer is from Casey's lip. His teeth are clenched in hate. He pounds with cruel violence his bat upon the plate. And now the pitcher holds the ball. And now he lets it go. And now the air is shattered by the force of Casey's blow. Oh, somewhere in the favored land, the sun is shining bright. The band is playing somewhere, and somewhere hearts are light. And somewhere men are laughing, and somewhere children shout. But there is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out. Casey at the Bat, Ernest Lawrence Thayer, published June 3rd, 1888. San Francisco Examiner.